How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Those are such heartfelt words, aren't they, from the psalmist? We've looked at Psalm 8 and Psalm 19 in recent weeks, great psalms of praise, psalms about creation, about the majesty of God, and about the connection of God with us. But this week in Psalm 13, we're looking at a psalm of lament, a psalm of sadness, of crying out to God, "How long will you forget me and hide from me?" And the situation that the psalmist speaks of is a really desperate place that some of us will have known personally, but others won't. I personally haven't been in that really desperate place yet in my life, but I know as a pastor that most of us will at some time or other, and that one day I will be in this place. Jesus told the story of the house on the rock and the house on the sand. And when he told that story, he didn't say, if the storm comes, he said, when the storm comes. It's a certainty, really. It's inevitable that one day a storm, a sort of flash flood, is going to come in your life. And the question in that parable of the sand and the rock is, where is your life founded? Will you be able to stand when the storm comes? But how do we reflect on something that we may not have experienced? Some have, some haven't. Well, if you have a piano, an upright piano with strings in it, and you take a horn or a trumpet and you blow it really loudly near the piano, you'll know that the strings in the piano will resonate, won't they? They'll carry on making the same note after you've taken the horn away. And it's like that. That's what we can do as we meet with people around us. We, in a sense, resonate with people's loss or their grief or their depression. And we will have done that. You will have resonated with people around you. You will have felt for them. And, you know, we can do that with the news as well, can't we? As we see things on our news reports, as we read things in our news feeds, they pull on our heartstrings. We may feel desolation, you know, as we see the 24 hours news, as Facebook things come up, articles in the newspapers. Or we may adjust our news feed in order that we don't see those things, in that we only see a sport or funny stories or whatever it is. So we know that those around us, and we can resonate with them, we can resonate with the suffering and the pain in our world as we hear stories from further afield. But the third way in which we can resonate is that we can pray the Psalms, because the Psalms include all the experience of human life. With a few exceptions, the Psalms are not the voice of God addressing us, but of us as humanity addressing God. And as we pray the Psalms, we sort of become part of that common voice of humanity. We're taken up in the cry of humanity and we express that experience. Now, just as we can adjust our news feed to limit what we see, we can adjust our reading of the Psalms as well, so that we only read the sort of jolly ones, you know, the ones that encourage us and are a blessing in that way. And the danger is, as we worship, is that we only sing songs that are in a positive range, and that we don't actually engage more deeply with the pain of the world. I remember in the 1980s we used to sing a great song, "Jesus, We Celebrate Your Victory." Those of you who are a bit older might remember that one. And but it had one line which John Gibson had written, who wrote it, and it says this: "And in his presence our problems disappear." And they do sometimes, but other times we have to live with them, don't we? We have to grapple with them. And to his credit, John Gibson actually rewrote that line to be something else that wasn't quite so triumphalist. So let's have a look at Psalm 13. Let's sort of engage with what it says. I've drawn on Walter Brueggemann's brilliant little book, Praying with the Psalms, in what follows. And he suggests three movements, really, that happen overall in the Book of Psalms and within some individual psalms as well. There are three headings you'll see on your sheet and three little pictures. And those are the movements that Brueggemann suggests. So as we read, there are sort of three places, three states of minds that we may resonate with. Some psalms express one of these places. Others express a movement between them, and Psalm 13 is one of these. So first, being securely orientated. That's when our lives are going along sort of normally. You know, things are stable, things are comfortable. We may even be a bit complacent, really, about our lives. We've probably deadened some of the big questions of life and death, because most of us don't want to face those things all the time as we go through life. We pretend that all is well. That's being securely orientated. Now, I'm going to risk adding my own trite little illustration to Walter Brueggemann's majestic analysis, so forgive me for my little illustration. But securely orientated is a bit like being a little green caterpillar that's munching its way through a leaf. And as it munches, the caterpillar doesn't really look up much, does it? It just munches its way through the leaf. It's living its own little life. It's not aware of the world. It lives to munch. Well, that's the first place, being securely orientated. But Brueggemann's second place of mind or state of mind is being painfully disorientated. And this is when something happens that exposes us. We realise how precarious our lives really are. Where eyes are open and we see. It's not the safe place we thought it was. And it might be some sort of loss, perhaps the realisation of our loss of youth. A midlife crisis, a sense of decline with age. It might be the loss of our job, redundancy, or the realization that perhaps we've failed ourselves and we've failed other people, maybe in a sort of quite irrevocable way, or so it feels. So there's sort of shame at failure. Or maybe we've encountered disappointment in our work. A career that's not worked out as we thought it would. You know, it started off and we thought it was going to go somewhere, and it hasn't. Or maybe we've remained single when we wanted to be married, or childless, or we've been separated or divorced from a partner. Or the black darkness of depression or bereavement. Or the burden of sickness or pain and suffering. Or perhaps a frightening terminal prognosis. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Painful disorientation. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? In his presence our problems will disappear, said the song. In his presence, but where is he? Pastoring people over the years, I've known deep, mature Christians, deeply shocked when this has happened to them. They'd thought that God would be there for them in their time of need. They know he's real, but he's left his post. He's not there. He's far away. The one time that they needed him. And I've known for no known reason, really, that other deep Christians experience God amazingly in the depths of the valley. And I don't know why that's different, but it is. So how are we to understand Brueggemann's painful disorientation experience? Well, in my trite little illustration, the rather unaware and blinkered caterpillar becomes a chrysalis by weaving a protective cocoon around itself. And in the hard shell, in the darkness of the cocoon, the chrysalis, it just stays. That's the stage that it's at. And it's a stage that it stays in for quite some time. It appears dead and dry and lifeless. And those who are painfully disorientated need time to adjust, to be in the darkness in a way, space to be and to heal. And of course, the green munching caterpillars of this world, like me, are often a bit unnerved by the chrysalis at this stage, because they feel that the disorientated person should be engaged with God, and that they, if they were sort of munching like the other caterpillars, they would feel more comfortable. But being painfully disorientated is where they are. And God is no further away from them because they are in this place than he was before. God is right there. God weeps for those who are painfully disorientated, who feel that God is far away. God weeps for them. He is right close by them. But the thing is, they can't hear him. They can't hear his weeping. And the truth is, of course, that sometimes our problems are solved by God, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes they get worse, don't they? And we live by faith. And we know that one day we will be with Jesus, and that he holds on to us now, even in those dark places, even though we can't see it, and that one day he will bring release and hope. Revelation 21 speaks of the time to come in paradise. It's amazing words, you'll know them well. Revelation 21, verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. See, says God, I make all things new. But in the meantime, we have our burdens of grief and disappointment and sadness and sickness to carry. And we look to God for meaning in that. And that's what's meant to happen in this chrysalis stage. It's the looking to God for meaning. A processing, a reorientation begins to take place. Verse 3 of Psalm 13. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Some of our greatest music and poetry and art and creativity comes from this place, doesn't it? You know, munching caterpillars don't really produce anything, but people who are in the dark place, often amazing creativity comes from that painful disorientation. And within the chrysalis, within this cocoon, a transformation begins. There is a recognized process in coming to terms with change or loss or grief, stages to travel through. The process is emotional, it's mental, it's spiritual, and it involves often powerful feelings, initially often a numbness, but then disorientation, fear, anger, maybe depression. You can't hurry through those things, no matter how much you might want to, and no matter how someone else might want you to. Sometimes people will pray for you, expecting instant change. And the disorientated, hurting person might want instant change too, to be released from the pain that they're going through. But that would be like cutting open the chrysalis too soon. The healing has to happen in that quiet and maybe dark place. Time is needed for renewal and for healing. And the process, it seems to me as an observer, often seems circular, that people will process their thoughts round and round and round. And sometimes the process, as they process, it seems to be going somewhere, often down and then up, and maybe down and up several times before it's worked through. And that's healthy and that's good. Where the problem sometimes is when people feel stuck in one place and they're just going round and round in the circle of their thoughts and they're not actually making any sort of progress in that. And often the person knows that themselves, and that's when a professional counselling can unlock that, and that's really good to avail yourself of that. Prayer ministry can help to unlock that. And with depression, medication is good as well, to help break that cycle and bring hope within, to start healthy movement again. But eventually, at the right time, the chrysalis breaks open. And when that happens, it's scary to come out into the light, because the chrysalis has been a safe place, and to come out into the light, into the new thing, is difficult and is hard. You're out of the protective cocoon in which you've been in. And sometimes it takes a real act of will, and it feels like, oh, I want to stay in the safety, but you need to break out, because the time is right, and the chrysalis is broken open. There is a butterfly to come out. Brueggemann calls this being surprisingly reorientated. When you leave the safe place and when you go back onto the wing. Remember, what I'm talking about here is not that the circumstances have changed or that the problem's gone away. Often that isn't the case. But it's seen in a new light. You're in a new place to be able to cope with the things that have happened to you. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. This is where the psalmist now comes. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. You know, they're not in the place that they were before. There's been a transformation. There's something different that has happened here. You see real depth in those who have gone through that painful disorientation place. So maybe this morning you are in that place of painful disorientation yourself. Take courage. There is hope. Although God seems far away, although it seems dark, you're in the place that really you're meant to be, provided you're not stuck there. And as you cry out, how long, Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will I wrestle with my thoughts? Know that God hears, that he does hear, that he is alongside, that he hasn't stepped away. And in the darkness of this chrysalis stage, these chrysalis days, he will begin his healing work. And that you will emerge, and that you will emerge transformed, surprisingly reorientated to the new life, a different life maybe, that God has for you, a life on the wing. And if you've not experienced painful disorientation, as I haven't in any real way, if you're a bit like me, just a munching caterpillar who's going on through life, then resonate with others. Don't hide away. Resonate with the pain that others feel. Resonate with the news. Don't filter it out. Because you see, that makes us deeper people. We lift our eyes from the leaf that we're munching and we see the pain of the world and we see the pain that God sees and we take part in that. That's the point of praying the Psalms, that we cry with a common voice of humanity. And we are changed by that too. And we become deeper, more mature, more rounded people, engaged with the world that God places before us. It's really important that we read the Psalms, that we pray them, and that we experience them, because then we are engaged with our world. I want us just to have some silence now. I'm not going to do a time of ministry. I think we're just going to sit quietly and just pray and just allow space for God. And maybe if you're in either of these places, you can just listen to God just for a little while. So we're just going to take some silence, and then Dave's just going to lead us in a couple of songs.